Today's Masechta Sukkah, Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotes Amar Aleph, the fourth line of Tanan. In the end of yesterday's shiur, we had a very fundamental machloikus of Abaya and Rava, if we could create a sukkah through Pitikra Yair V'Soysim. Abaya's opinion was that we can, Rava's opinion was that we cannot. So our Gemara begins by asking a question for the Mishnah we learned on Abaye's opinion. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, if there's an exadra circling, jutting out of the walls of the chotzer, and you put schach on top of those, exadra on top of those planks sticking out of the walls of the chotzer, the Mishnah said, if there's less than 4 amos between the schach and the wall, so we could apply the concept of doifen akuma and the sukkah will be kosher. If there's more than that, so when there's more than 4 amos width, as we learned a number of times, we can no longer apply the concept of doifen akuma, and that's why the sukkah will be kosher. But ask the Gemara, why even if it's wider than 4 amos, does it automatically become disqualified from being a sukkah? Namely, why can't we say Pitikra Yair V'Soysim and rely on Pitikra? Answers the Gemara, Tirgma Rav Alibad Abaya, Kishishva is Kiruyav. We're not speaking about a situation where the schach is above the planks that are sticking out. And since the planks are therefore, if it's above those planks, if they're resting above the planks, one who's sitting in the sukkah could see the end of the planks and therefore could rely on Pitikra Yair V'Soysim. Rather, the Mishnah says Abaye is referring to a situation where the schach is actually touching the planks, the edge of the planks. So they're not visible. And the only time we could rely on Pitikra Yair V'Soysim is only when we could see the end of the wall. But if it's not visible to us, we can't rely on Pitikra Yair V'Soysim. Says the Gemara, this is the version that we learned till now of the Machlokes Abaye V'Rava. But says, B'Surah Masel HaShematza, in Surah they learned the Machlokes Abaye V'Rava entirely differently, B'Hai Lishnam. That was the way they learned it in Surah. But from Medisa Masel and from Medisa they learned it this way, that you have tzimim, you have boards, you have poles that surround the sukkah, but they aren't 3 tefachim within each other. They're rakel psula. Everybody agrees that sukkah is not possible. That means what the Gemara is saying now, that we cannot. Everybody agrees that we cannot rely on Pitikra B'Yair V'Soysim. The question is, when we have these poles, Abaye Amar K'sheira, he says that it's Kosher Rav Amar P'sua. Abaye Amar K'sheira, if the poles are one within each other 3 Tvachim, Amrin and Lovet, and that's what connects all the poles. And now it's considered as if we have walls around the Sukkah. Rav Amar P'sua, and Rav says that such a Sukkah is possible, Loi Amrin and Lovet, because we can't create a mechitza through Lovet. And the way I sort of was trying to explain the Gemara is that what Lovet could accomplish when we rely on Lovet to connect and make walls is that the area that they surround through Lovet is considered surrounded. But for Sukkah, we need much more. For Sukkah, we need walls. To create real walls through Lovet is not something that the halacha could do. And since the halacha cannot create real walls through Lovet, that is not an option. Says the Gemara, but the halacha is like the first version that they learned in Surah like Rava, that if indeed there were poles surrounding an area, and all of the poles were within 3 tefachim each other, then Lovet does create walls. When we want to rely on Pitikra Yair V'Soysim, to create a sukkah. That's where the halacha is like Rava, that we don't rely on Pitikra Yair V'Soysim to create walls of a sukkah. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Ashkechel Rav Kahana to come asachich agabe asad v'shen lebtzim. There was an exadra in front of the house, and there was a chotzer there, and he made the sukkah by putting the he had two walls touched to each other, looking like an L, like right angle, and on the third wall he didn't make a wall. What he did was he relied on the exadra that was coming out of the house that it should make into Tikra Yair V'Soysim, and by Tikra Yair V'Soysim, make it into a third wall. So said Rav Ashi to Rav Kahana, Amlei, Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, Lo Sova Ma, Ha Dama Rava, have you not heard what Rava said? Yesh Le Betzimim, if there are poles to make you have a wall of the sukkah, and those poles are within three tefachim each other, kshera, then the sukkah is a kosher sukkah, because we can rely on lavid. However, ein loy p'tzimim, if there are no p'tzimim, psula, that it's not a kosher sukkah. Just to rely on p'tikr yair v'soysim to make a sukkah into a kosher sukkah is not acceptable. Achvelei, so Rav Kahana told him to look a little better at that wall. The reason he said that the sukkah is kosher, there was a third wall the size of a tefach, but it was made in a way that only those who are standing within the sukkah would be able to see that wall. Somebody who would be standing outside the sukkah would not see that extra tefach because it was close to the wall that it was extending from. And therefore somebody standing outside could not see that extra wall. And therefore, he says, a pidin, according to the halacha, the sukkah has to have two walls in a tefach. It did have two walls in a tefach. The fact that you were standing outside the sukkah could not see that tefach obviously does not disqualify it from being a wall. Inami, but then he said the way it could have been constructed, it was only visible for those that were standing outside the sukkah, but not visible for those that stood inside the sukkah. Tosfos has a very, that's the way Rashi explains this last statement. And Tosfos, the very maskil Achvei, has a question. How could such a wall be acceptable? Even if we're saying, as we have been saying, that the third wall of the sukkah only needs to be a tefach, but that's only acceptable because it's inside the sukkah. So one of the truths that Tosfos first tries to suggest goes back to a concept that we learned early in the Masechta of Dav Zayin. Such a tefach wall, if we needed such a wall in a mavi to allow us to be able to carry in the mavi, which as we learned from the beginning of Masechta Ervin and have mentioned more than once in our shiurim here in Masechta Sukkah, you need to have a lechi at your entrance to make it permissible to carry within your mavi. And when the Gemara Masechta Ervin discusses lechis, the Gemara exactly discusses such cases. One where the lechi is only visible to those inside, not to those outside, and one where it's only visible to those outside and not to those inside. So Tosfos wants to suggest that since we learned a concept on Dav Zayin, Dav Migui, the concept taught us that if it's good for Hilchas Shabbos, it's going to be good also for Hilchas Sukkos, that would be understandable, perhaps, says Tosfos, to rely on such a wall for Shabbos Sukkos. But Sukkos isn't just on Shabbos, Sukkos is seven more days. And then Tosfos says that the fact that we can rely on such a lechi for Hilchas Shabbos is because, as we said in that Gemara, the issa to carry on Shabbos and a mavi mudaraisa is really a rishus hayochid. The only reason we need to make a lechi is that people shouldn't get confused and believe that you carry from the mavi, which is a rishus hayochid, to the area outside the mavi, which is a rishus harabim. But sukkah, the chiv to have a third wall, albeit, as we learned, the third wall could just be a tefach and it'll still be acceptable, that's a chiv deraisa. So how can we rely on such a wall to make your sukkah kosher. So he says that we have to explain that the third wall here had a tzuras haPesach. And since a tzuras haPesach midaraisa is always considered a full-fledged wall, and we learned the Gemara in Daf Zayin that actually it was Rav Kahana who we find in this Gemara requiring both a tzuras haPesach and a tefach, and a board of a tefach. So once you put up a tzuras haPesach, midaraisa, you have a third wall. Because if a tzuras haPesach were not to be considered a proper mechitza, we cannot rely on tzuras haPesach by Shabbos and all of Hilchas Erevin. And therefore, since the entire requirement here was only because of midrabanan, that's why it could be relied on. Another pshat that the Rosh wants to say, that even though Rava has been teaching us in our shir, as we started the shir today, that Rava has been teaching us that we can't rely on Pitikra Yair V'Saisim Midaraisa. That's only, that we can't rely on Pitikra Yair V'Saisim to create a wall of the sukkah. That's only Midaraisa. That's only Midrabanan. But Midaraisa, certainly we could rely on Pitikra Yair V'Saisim. And therefore, we had here, says the Rosh, that there was a third wall through Pitikra Yair V'Saisim. So midaraisa, we have a perfectly fine sukkah. We're only trying to make it acceptable midrabanan. For such a requirement, even though the third tefach, that third wall with a tefach, the tefach is not inside the sukkah, it's still going to be good enough. Ditmar, as we just described, the Gemara in Masechet Erevin teaches us, near b'mechutz, where the lechi is only visible outside the mavi, v'shavi, but the people inside the mavi cannot see this lechi, nidin mishum lechi. It's considered a full-fledged lechi. The lechi, hainu p'tzimim. And just like a lechi is acceptable under those circumstances, so could the third tefach, the tefach wall, the third wall, which only needs to be a tefach, be acceptable as in that fashion as well. Says the Gemara, Tana Pesel, we have Schach. And the reason Schach is called Pesel, because it comes, as the Torah says, the proper way of making Schach is Psoilus Garen V'yekev. So if you have Pesel al-Yotzi min ha-Sukkah, if you have a Pesel that extends past your Sukkah, the Loch is needing to Sukkah, it's still considered a valid Sukkah. And the Gemara begins to teach us, or try to identify, what is the case that is being referred to here. My pesel ayotzim l'sukkah. Amma ula, karem ayotzim l'churei sukkah. You have the schach extending past the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, why schach extending past the sukkah is considered a good sukkah? V'abinen shal shtefanis. Besides requiring that the sukkah be covered with schach, we know that the sukkah has to have three walls. Answers the Gemara, that besides the schach extending past the sukkah, you also have three walls. Ask the Gemara, v'abina heksha sukkah. You also need that the walls should surround an area that's at least zayin al zayin, the minimum size, zayin al zayin tfachim, the minimum size of a sukkah. Answers the Gemara to that as well, b'deika, that you have the proper walls. Ask the Gemara, v'abinan, but the Gemara is suggesting that if it's just schach that's extending past your sukkah, maybe it's not a strong covering of schach. And we know that the halach is, you need silsa merabim mechumsa, that you have to have the schach providing proper shade. Answers the Gemara, bidika, that you have that as well. So ask the Gemara, if you have three walls, and you have the right amount of schach, and you have the right size, so it's a perfectly fine sukkah. Maila memra, what's the chiddush? Answers the Gemara. Ma'atei mahoil vil gavoy vidi. The middle wall, not the extended walls, but the black wall, which is shared wall, both for the sukkah and for the extended sukkah. So I would think, l'gavoy avidi, it's only made for the inside, for the main sukkah, and l'vroy lo'avidi, it wasn't constructed for the purpose of the sukkah that's extending past the sukkah, and therefore, ema lo'i, that should make that not into an acceptable third wall. Kamash Malon, that it's still considered a valid wall. As long as you have a wall, it's good enough. So Tosfos asks, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if you have a chsadra around your sukkah is kosher. Now, there, as long as the chsadra is not more than 4 amos wide, so I could say doifin akuma. What kind of walls are we talking about? We're talking the walls of the homes. So ask Tosfos, the walls of the home were certainly considered on purpose, were certainly constructed for the home and not for the sukkah. Yet our Mishnah said that the walls of the home can serve as walls of the sukkah. So why, even though that wasn't their purpose when we constructed them, so why should this be any different? So Ritva says that yes, in our Mishnah, the walls of the home were also not constructed for the sukkah. But even though they weren't constructed for the sukkah, they are firm walls. Whereas here, the walls are sukkah walls. And maybe when do I say that we could rely on walls, even though they weren't constructed for the sukkah, when they're at least good, firm, sturdy, real walls? But when we're not talking about good, strong, sturdy walls, there I can't say that vart. Teaches us the Gemara that even in this case, even though the walls weren't constructed for that purpose, it's still going to be acceptable. There's another pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest. Tosfos says in explaining this Gemara, he says that we're not talking about the wall here. We're actually talking about the schach. And one could suggest that since the schach was really made for the inside sukkah, it just happened you had an extra schach and it extended past that. Maybe that should be considered that it's not valid, kamash malon, that it's still fine. Rav Yosef Tavayu, Hoch Bekarma Yotzlo Fnimen HaSukkah. Here the Gemara is speaking about where you have the schach going past the opening of the sukkah. Umashkav Ozlecha Doifen, and not only is the schach going past the sukkah, but the one of the walls is also going past the where the schach ends. The Hadayu is going together with the schach, but the other wall is not extending that far. One of the walls is extending with the schach past the sukkah, but not the other one. The matatema less by hoch shesukkah, that since the second wall is not extending with the to the same extent as the first sukkah, and therefore that we want to create, we want to suggest that that extension should be considered a valid sukkah, but that would be only if the extension has Zayin HaTfachim, which is the minimum size of a sukkah. Kamach Milan, that's still going to be considered a valid wall. Why? Because we have here the wall that's completely extended. So that's one wall. We have the back wall, which is the second wall of the sukkah. And the third wall, the parallel wall to the first wall we just spoke about, although it's not extended Zayin HaTfachim, it is extended a tefach. And the halacha is that it's considered a sukkah of 2 tefachim and 1 tefach, and therefore it's good sukkah. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is when we look at it, we're not to look at the extension as a separate area, as a separate sukkah, and now start discussing, is that a kosher sukkah or not a kosher sukkah? By having this extension, the way it was just described, it's as I just called it. It's called an extension. And if the inside is kosher, then this is considered only an extension of the sukkah. And since it's considered an extension of the sukkah, it's considered a kosher sukkah. Rabbi Babachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, has a different way of explaining what was meant when the Braisa said that a pesel ayotzim in a sukkah is nidin kin sukkah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Babachanan, Amal, Rabbi Yochanan, Lenitzcha, El Sukkah Shirubit Tzilsim Mechamtza. You have a sukkah that is mostly Tzilsim Ruba Mechamtza, but you have one spot where the Chamtz Umayuta, there's a small part of the sukkah where it's Chamtza Meruba Mitzilsa. The matter time of Tipas Lach Porta, that under the area where you don't have Chamtza Tzilsim Ruba Mechamtza, the sukkah should be considered disqualified. Kamash Malan, that since most of the sukkah is silsim ruba mechamsa, it's good enough. Or my yoytze. So what does that mean with pesel ayoytze in a sukkah? Yoytze means that you have an area on the sukkah where it's not, it's that is not kosher, that the that place doesn't have proper schach, but since the rest of the sukkah is fine, it makes this place as fine. So the Ran has a very interesting shaila. He says, let's say you'll have a sukkah that silsim ruba mechamtza, but you'll have in the area that's chamtza meruba metzilsa zayin tfachim and zayin tfachim. So now the Ran wants to suggest that that won't be a kosher sukkah. He says, when are we saying that as long as we look at the entire sukkah, it's silsim meruba mechamtza, and that is enough? Is when you don't have any one spot that's not that Zayin al Zayin with Chamsa Ruba Metzilsa. But if you can identify, says the Ran, a space in the Sukkah that Zayin al Zayin, that's Chamsa Ruba Metzilsa, that would disqualify that area. The Ramah quotes the opinion of the Ran. This is the Ramah on Siman Tov Reish Lamed Aleph, Sif Aleph. The Ramah quotes the opinion of the Ran, and he says, Yesh Machmirim. But of course, the Taz points out that even according to the Ran, it's only the spat, which is Chamsa Berubim Esotso, that Zayin al Zayin, which you would not be allowed to sit or sleep under. The rest of the Sukkah wouldn't have any problem. The Prima Godim is not so quick to accept what the Taz says. The Prima Godim says, we have to look at the circumstances. And the Prima Godim suggests that if you're going to have a situation where this spat of Zayin al Zayin would divide the sukkah, and now you don't have on the sides of the sukkah kosher sukkahs, it would disqualify the entire area. Then the Paiskim discuss, Rabbeinu Yeruchim discusses a situation where the sukkah is silsim ruba mechamtza. But the reason it's silsim ruba mechamtza is because in one spat you have a lot of schach. And because in that spot you have a lot of schach, and you look at the other areas, that's how you have tzilsim rabba mechamsa. But right for the sukkah, it's chamsa ruba metzilsa. What is the halacha? And the Rebbeinu Yeruchim says, you can't call that a sukkah, which is tzilsim rabba mechamsa, and it's posel. And the Darkei Moshe quotes this Rebbeinu Yeruchim, and the Rebbe also paskins like this Rebbeinu Yeruchim. Revei Shaimer, Ravash has a different way of explaining this case. Where you have disqualified schach, you have a sukkah, which is sukkah ktana, as we keep on repeating in our shir. The shir of sukkah ktana is shiva al shiva tfachim, 7 by 7 tfachim. And you have an area of schach posel of 3 tfachim. And part of that sukkah has schach posel. And the Bryce is teaching us that the schach posel could still make that this sukkah is kosher. Or my yotze, and explains the Gemara what was the statement of the Bryce? Yotze bechlal, yotze b'tar sukkah. That the Bryce is teaching us that the schach posel can be used and it will be considered a kosher sukkah. Maskeloi Rav Oshia says, Rav Oshia, I don't understand why schach, which is posel, can be used to make your sukkah into a kosher sukkah. Maskla Raishya, lo yehei ela avir. What would we have if we had empty space in the sukkah? V'ava pochs mishloshim sukkah ktana, mi posel. So why should this be any worse? Amle Rava, shezem mitztarif, the schach posel is better than avir. It's mitztarif v'yishenim tachtov. Zeh, mitztarif ein yishenim tachtov. So Gemara draws a difference. The Gemara says that if you'll have less than 3 tefachim schach of avir in this sukkah, the sukkah will be a kosher sukkah, but under the open space, you wouldn't be allowed, you would not be yoytzim mitzvah sukkah, you couldn't eat there, you couldn't sleep there. Here, the schach posel is so strong that it could combine with the rest of the sukkah that you could even eat and sleep under it. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand that? Or mi kamidi, that's the rufi mitztarif, that it can combine with what is there to make it kosher. Vu atzmai, but it itself ain't a kosher. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yoshev, in. There is a precedent for such a case. Titan noruk. When we have mud, which has body to it. And it's mud, but it's loose enough, says Rashi, that you could pour it from one keli to another keli. Titanorik yechiyach is your best example. Shemitztarif labam saw. We know that the minimum amount of water that you could have to make a mikveh kosher has to be 40 saw. So it could combine to the 40 saw. However, if you were to have a mikveh that was completely made out of the titanorik tovabah, but you can't tovabah. But if you have a mikveh made out of titanorik, you can't use it like also like tefillah. It cannot be used for a mikveh. So you see that there's a difference when it comes to hilchus tziruf, but it doesn't have an effect on the kashrus of the can't be entire area made that way. The same thing with schach posel, it could be mitzdarif, but you can't have a sukkah made only out of schach posel. Just like the Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos, Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph says, Eilu Malam V'loi Poslin, that the following things could make your mikveh equal the 40 saw that you so much need to have a kosher mikveh. We won't disqualify your mikveh. Hashalik V'abarad V'tik Hanorik. And pshat in the Mishnah is that they could add to get to the 40 saw, but you can't have a mikveh that's completely made out of 40 saw of titanorik. Says the Mishnah, if you make your sukkah like a teepee, like a triangle, you take the schach and you lay it slanty against the wall. The halach is, Rabbi Lezer holds that since this sukkah doesn't have a flat roof, it can't be a kosher sukkah, and the Chum hold it's a kosher sukkah. And the basis of Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that the sukkah has to be an oil. He said, the Rishonim explain, Rashi explains, that a sukkah is another way of saying oil. An oil has to have walls and a roof. In these two examples that the Mishnah just gave, there are no identifiable walls and roof. It's all really very much connected, and therefore it's not considered a valid sukkah. Of course, there's a question amongst the Rishonim that even though the Chum say that we can rely on such a sukkah, the question that the Rishonim debate is how much area does the sukkah have to cover in order to be able to rely on it? So some Rishonim say it has to have a width of 7 tefachim by a height of 10 tefachim. So even though you don't have a real wall and a real roof, but if the area within the sukkah has a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 7 tefachim, even the Rabbanan, who are being lenient in our Mishnah, would not consider such a sukkah a valid sukkah. The Bach disagrees, and he says it could be as long as you have 7 tefachim, it's going to be in the width, it's going to be fine. The Ran says that you have to have that each side of the slant has to be 17 tefachim, 10 plus 7. And if each side equals 17, 10 plus 7, then the Rabbanan would hold that this is a kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara. But even though, as we just learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer takes the strict opinion, however, says the Gemara, Tana Maidir Belezer, Rabbi Lezer agrees, Shemigbiyam in a karka tefach. It isn't flush with the tefach, with the karka, but rather you have a piece of material, a piece of wood, a stone that the slant only begins after it's elevated a tefach. Why? Shefligam in a koisel tefach, or the slant ends, and then there's a flat space of a tefach between the end of the slant, the schach, and the wall, the ksheira. Because what that makes it into an oil. That type of a situation makes it into an oil, and once it makes it into an oil, then it has mechitzas and has a roof. That's considered a valid sukkah. But the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, as we just learned, are very lenient. And they say even without this addition, it still would be a kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara, my tamay Rabbanan, what is the basis of the opinion of the Rabbanan, says the Gemara, because the Rabbanan opinion is shipui oilim ka'ali dami, that when a wall that's on a slant is still halachically considered a valid wall. And since halachically it's considered a valid wall, that's why it's a good sukkah. Says the Gemara, Abaya Ashkechel Rav Yosef, the Kagani Bekilas Chassanim, the sukkah. He was laying in a sukkah that had a slanty canopy, something that we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Amalei Kaman. So Rav Yosef asked him, whose opinion are you following? Because what happens in this Gemara is, whereas in our Mishnah, Rebbe Lezer is the Machmer and the Rabbanan are the Mekilim, in the case where there's a Kilas Chassanim in the Sukkah, their opinions get reversed. Since Rebbe Lezer holds that a place that has a covering that looks like a triangle, which is the way Kilas Chassanim looked, as we explained earlier in the Masechta, the Kilas Chassanim is built with one pole going up in the front, another pole going up in the back, and then a pole going across. So Kilas Chassanim, according to Rebbe Lezer, is not considered an oil. That's why Rebbe Lezer and Amish said it's not a kosher sukkah. If it's not considered an oil, and it's not considered a kosher sukkah, so then when you're sleeping under that kilas chassanim in your sukkah, it's not considered like you're sleeping in a separate area within your sukkah. And therefore, you could be yotze mitzvah sukkah. So therefore, Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, when you yourself are sleeping in the kilas chassanim, the sukkah, you obviously are following the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, of our Mishnah. So we asked him, Shafkas Rabbanan v'avdas Rebbe Lezer, you ignore the opinion of the Rabbanan? Who Rabbanan say, yes, that when you have a sukkah built this way, it's considered a proper oil, and since it's considered a proper oil, it's considered a proper sukkah, but then the halach ought to be that if you sleep in such a sukkah, then you're not sleeping in the sukkah. And you're sleeping in the new oil, and it should be disqualified. So why are you following the opinion of Rebbe Lezer and ignoring the opinion of the Rabbanan? Amalei, to which Rabbi Yosef responded, Braisa Ibchatani, because I learned a Braisa that says just the opposite. In the Braisa that I had in the version of the story of our Mishnah, it says Rebbe Lezer machshe v'cham and paislam. Rebbe Lezer holds that this sukkah is kosher and the cham and paislam. So yes, it cannot be made into a sukkah that way, but on the other hand, if you sleep in such a place in the sukkah, you're mekayim mitzvah sukkah. So he asked, so Abaye now asks Rabbi Yosef, Shaftas masnisav avak braisa, you follow the opinion, you follow the version of the braisa and ignore the version of the Mishnah. We know that the Mishnayis were considered much more authoritative than the Brises, the Mishnayos were learned in the yeshivas, and they were accepted in the yeshivas, and therefore they're considered more authoritative. So why are you following the version of the Brisa versus following the version of the Mishnah? Amalei, this Mishnah, Yechidahi, is only opinion way Reb Nosson learned the Mishnah. The Tanya, Reb Nosson Oymer Reb Elazar Paisel, Mnei She'en Lo Gag, V'Chom Machshirim. So yes, he agrees that normally I would follow the version of the Mishnah versus following the Nusach of the Braisa. But when would I do so? I would only do so when the Mishnah is indeed considered more authoritative. But when the Mishnah only represents the opinion of one Amira's version of the Machlokes, then I'm not going to follow the Mishnah versus a Braisa that was taught in the Yeshiva, and everybody agreed with that. We learned on Daf Yud Aleph Omer Aleph that the Mishnah taught us that we can't use for schach only something that grows from the ground and is not makabel tumah. Anything that's makabel tumah, even if it grows from the ground, we cannot use for a sukkah. So our Mishnah begins to discuss, and the Mishnah and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem begin to discuss situation with sukkah where we have sukkah mats. Sukkah mats are made from wood that grows from the ground and it's not makabel tumah. But the question is, when and where not can they be used? Says the Mishnah, Machzelis Konim, if you have a mat that was made out of wood, gedoyla, that is a large one, so the halacha is, asol yishchiva, if it's meant to sleep on. So since it's meant to sleep on, it becomes a keli. And since it becomes a keli, then it's considered mekabel tuma. Mekabel tuma ve mesachin ba. Achlus, if you made it only for schach, mesachin ba, you could use it for schach, then mekabel tuma, because it wasn't made to be a keli. So the question that many Rishonim and Achronim discuss is, the Mishnah says, we look at with which intention was it made. And the question is, whose intention is the intention that makes a difference? The Sfas Emes says that we don't follow the intention of the manufacturer, because the manufacturer is just interested in people buying what he manufactured. It doesn't make a difference to him what they're going to use it for. All he's interested is selling the product that he manufactured. And therefore, whatever machshava the manufacturer had is immaterial to the kashrus of the sukkah. However, there are, the Tosfos Rid says, no, it depends on the manufacturer. And he says, if you look at the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, it seems that Rashi looks and says that as well. Because the focus that Rashi says is also, we look at the manufacturing. How? What was it? What for? What purpose was it made? So according to that, we look at what was the purpose for what it is made. We don't look at the person who purchased it. The Rosh has a different approach altogether. The Rosh's approach is that we look at the Minig HaMokim. What is this type of mat usually used for in this place? And if this mat is usually used to sleep on, to sit on, then it's a keli, it's mekabel tuma, and it may not be used for schach. If that's not what it's used for, we could be more lenient. And the question here, however, is we're talking about something that's a flat wood mat, and we've learned many times that Pshuti Kliyetz, flat wood kalim anam kabel tuma midaraisa, because the Torah says in speaking about kliyetz, dumi resak, they have to be similar to a bag, and just like a bag has a kli kibble, it has a receptacle, so too the only time wood is makabel tuma is if it has a receptacle. A flat mat doesn't have a receptacle, so why is it somewhere? Why is it makabel tuma and therefore problematic for a schach? So the explanation is, as we've spoken about previously, a zava who lay or sit on something which is meant to lay or sit on, the aloch is that becomes tamei with tamas medris. So if you, and that tuma doesn't have the limitation that it has to have a kli kibble. As long as it's made to sit on lay on, it's mekabel tamas medris. And not only is the aloch that's mekabel tumas medris if it's meant to lay or sit on, once it falls into that category, it's mekabel all types of tumas. Tumas mes, all types of tumas. So now our Mishnah is very understandable. We're talking about a mat, a wood mat. It doesn't have a receptacle, but if you lay on it, it will be susceptible to tumas medris. Once it's susceptible to tumas medris, it's susceptible to all types of tumas. So then it's a keli, it's something that's mekabel tuma. Something that's mekabel tuma, we said, may not be used for schach. So now we have to see what was it made on. And if it was made to lay on, it's mekabel tuma smedris, and therefore it can't be used as a sukkah. Rebbe Lezer says, achas ketanav achas gdoila, whether it's a small mat or a large mat, also l'shchiva, if it's made to lay on, it's considered a keli, it's mekabel tuma, ve'imesachin ba, but it's meant to be for schach, mesachin ba, it may be used for schach and mekabel tuma. But ask the Gemara, haguf akasha, as we learn the words of the Mishnah, they seem to contradict each other. Amrit, also l'shchiva, if it's meant to lay on mekabel tuma, ve'imesachin ba. So what do we say? Because tamed also l'shchiva, because it was made for that purpose, that's why it's mekabel tuma and may not be used for schach. Hostama, if it wasn't expressly made for that purpose, then we'll say that it could be used for schach. V'adatani, but then let's continue learning the Mishnah. L'sichuch, if it was expressly made for schach, then the halach is mesachim ba, then mekabel tuma. Why? tam das l'sicha, because I expressly made it for schach. Hostama, if I did not expressly make it for schach, I say it's considered something which is made l'shchiva, to lay on, and it's mekabel to mesmedris, and may not be used to schach. So, how do we reconcile the statements in the Mishnah? Answer, the Gemara holakasha. Habigdoyla, the Mishnah first is speaking about a large mat. A large mat is not normally used to lay on. And therefore, if it was not used normally to lay on, we say that unless it was expressly made to lay on, we say it's kosher l'schach, because it's not mekabel tumah. Of course, if you expressly decided to use it for laying on, it's going to be mekabel tumah and may not be used for schach. Whereas b'ktana, the Mishnah is speaking later on about a small mat. A small mat is usually used for laying on, and therefore, unless you said expressly that you wanted to use it for schach, it would be considered something meant to lay on, and therefore it's mekabel tumah and may not use for schach. But if it's small and you say I want to use it for schach, then it'll be a kosher schach. Says the Gemara, continues the Gemara, in trying to understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Omer, achas ktanav achas gedoyla, size is not the point. If it's meant to lay on, so what do we see? If you expressly made it for laying on, if you did not expressly make it for laying on, it would be lesichuch, it would be kosher schach. But then let's continue learning the opinion of what Rabbi Elazar said in the Mishnah. If it was made for schach, then it's kosher schach, it's enem kabelas tuma, and may be used for schach. Because tamidos l'sichach, because it was expressly made for schach. Hostama, if it wasn't expressly made for schach, we would say it was made l'shchiva, and if it's made l'shchiva, it may not be used for schach. So now, in understanding the opinion of Elazar, we have a stira in what is the halacha by a regular machzelis. Do I assume that a regular machzelis was meant for shchiva, or do I assume that a regular Machzelis, which is what the Sefer seems to point to? Do I say that a regular Machzelis was meant l'sichuch, which is the direction that the Reisha points to? And here, we can't give the answer that we gave in trying to understand the opinion of the Rabbanon, that there's a difference between a large Machzelis and a small Machzelis, because Rabbi Elazar explicitly says there's no difference in the size of the Machzelis. So we need to really understand when is a Machzelis able to be used for schach, and when is a Machzelis not able to be used for schach.